In 2017, Sound and Silence in the Ecology of the Cathedral was an interdisciplinary collaboration between researchers at the University of Bristol and Bristol Cathedral, looking at the specific sound ecology within the cathedral building and investigating how people seek out and access certain types of sound and what they think and feel about the sound that they experience in the cathedral. The Bristol Cathedral has a long, rich history of choral music. The sound of choirs singing has been heard in the building since the 12th century. And there's been a full-time organist at the cathedral since 1542. Today, the sounds of the cathedral include recitals, concerts, guided tours, cinema events, and school visits, as well as the day-to-day sound of visitors walking through the space, around the space, hushed conversations, and daily prayer. The project was designed to map the soundscape of different parts of the building and outside spaces at different times of the day so that the changing nature of the cathedral's sound signature could be better understood. The project aimed to give support for new events, such as lead silences or sound tours. The project committee also planned to commission two pieces of music responding to the findings of the research to be performed by the cathedral choir and other local musicians. The project was led by Dr. Beth Williamson from the university's Department of History of Art, who said, "A cathedral is one of very few places within a city where a person can find silence. Silence is not a negative and not the absence of sound. Anyone who has ever been moved by the sound of people keeping silent together on Remembrance Sunday," she says, "knows that silence has a powerful presence. There are different qualities of silence, and different spaces offer up different varieties of silence. To achieve the most potent and quietest silence in the cathedral, a visitor could seek out a number of smaller, less immediately accessible spaces, but many people seem to seek the silence found in the largest, most public space in the cathedral, that of the nave. We are interested to ask, where do people sit within the building? Where do they walk? Where do they stop?" Meanwhile, commentator Richard Rabiel is someone who recommends that everyone add visiting a cathedral to their lifetime bucket list and says, okay, not everyone, but people who have the means and the desire to travel. And I mean a real visit to an old cathedral, not a mere stroll with your camera. In fact, don't take pictures. Don't speak. Go in, sit among the chairs or pews, and be quiet for 30 minutes. It's harder than it sounds. Your smartphone will tempt you, and in the most popular cathedrals, tourists flow around the rim of the nave, posing for selfies and jostling for the best angles. Sometimes the throngs are so thick that you are forced to move along with little time to absorb the wonder. But it is possible, if you time it right and are so inclined, to tune out the excited whispers. Most tourists are too restless to sit down for more than 10 minutes. In any case, cathedrals require time. They communicate a landscape of ideas and sounds which cannot be quickly understood, but which can certainly be felt. And Rabiel concludes, "Modernity grinds on at a loud and boisterous pace, and our selection of technology has all but guaranteed that we do not experience silence, even in the privacy of our homes. Solitude and reflection are rare commodities, and yet so central to our work, creativity, and well-being. To recover a thicker sense of these things, we may just need to take a leap of faith, not only to embrace the type of silence which cathedrals and other such spaces offer, but sometimes their music." And so, here we are, recommending that if you are unable to visit a cathedral at this time, you try to attend the upcoming concert program by the Arcadia Chorale, titled Echoes from the Cathedral's Sacred Sounds of Western Europe, at St. Stephen's Episcopal Pro Cathedral in Wilkes-Barre on Saturday evening and on Sunday afternoon at the First Presbyterian Church of Clark Summit. Matthew Rupsich, music director and conductor of the chorale, paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk about the powerful sounds and silences of the program and to say a bit about the season ahead.
We're starting our fall season, and this first concert, I'm focusing on music from the cathedrals of Western Europe. And then we, of course, have a holiday program that we do in December, which I'm focusing on music of Advent, Christmas, as well as Hanukkah. And then we must mention that we do the Messiah sing-along. That's very exciting. We're doing it in Scranton this year at Covenant Presbyterian Church. That's where we invite community singers to join us. And then later, it's typically broadcast on WVIA. We truly appreciate that support. And then we have sort of a long time preparation that we're getting ready for the Nipa Bach Festival. That happens in March. And the primary focus for that program, I'm actually doing some Vivaldi. I haven't done Vivaldi with the chorale, and I really want to do that with them. So I'm excited about that. And then lastly, two things. In May, we do a much lighter concert, a Pops concert. And that will be music focusing on the 30s, 40s, and 50s, typically, that we do. And then we invite singers back to join us for a summer sing in June. And this is where we typically sing a large work. We add instrumentation to that, chamber orchestra, or sometimes just piano. But our goal is to involve orchestra with that. And that's how we close our season. So it's well-rounded. We try to hit different genres and styles of music to reach different people and what they appreciate in choral music.
Let's go to this weekend then. What have you been preparing and what can we delight in as we think about those cathedrals? Because it's not just one country you're thinking about.
Exactly. So the title of the program is Echoes from the Cathedrals, Sacred Sounds of Western Europe. So what I've decided to do is to focus on music from England, Spain, Italy, Germany, France, and also Austria. And so it's a wide breadth of composers, a wide breadth of texts that are psalm texts, sacred texts, or other types of sacred texts. And then what's also nice is since we're focusing on music of the cathedrals, obviously we need to highlight an organist for these cathedrals. And I'm happy to share that we've invited Christopher Johnson, who is an organist extraordinaire at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Scranton. And he will be our organist for the program. He will have moments in the program also to highlight his playing, his work throughout the program as well.
You are such a good researcher and you know music yourself. You have a wide range of music that you have performed and conducted. So you have a wealth already to draw on. Where did you go to fill the program with these sounds?
I was fortunate when I was in my undergraduate work to sing at the National Cathedral in Washington. And, you know, I sang for dignitaries. I sang for ambassadors. I remember singing for the first President Bush. And during that time there, I was exposed to so much music that I would never have had the experience because of my upbringing, because of my schooling. And so by singing at the cathedral, it really opened my eyes to this wealth of repertoire. You know, we sang every Sunday, and then so 52 out of the weeks of the year, but then we also sang an even song, so it's twice as much. And then we gave about 10 to 12 concerts a year with the choir of men and boys. So we did a lot of repertoire. With that being said, I remember a few wonderful gems that were my inspiration for this program, for the Arcadia Chorale. And there are three pieces. One is by Brahms. It's the piece that is titled Geistliches Lied. It's Opus 30. And this piece is gorgeous. And the text is in German, but the first translation is Let Nothing Ever Grieve Thee. And it's asking God to release us from our transgressions, from our sins. And the melodic line with the parts have this tension in between as well as resolution between at the end of phrases.
Lost in
And I will say, and Christopher Johnson agrees with me, that it has one of the most remarkable amens at the end of that piece. It is gorgeous. So that's a staple in choral repertoire. That's a staple in repertoire for, I'll say, cathedrals. Another piece is by English composer Rayfawn Williams, a piece called Oh Clap Your Hands. This work is very exciting. It's a large-scale work, lots of divisi, full and rich. It actually ends the first half of our program. And it is extremely exciting. It's based on a psalm text, so clap your hands, all ye peoples, and triumph together. And it builds and builds to the end. And it is so exciting to hear that in these sacred spaces here with the chorale, because they're singing it so well. And then with Christopher Johnson accompanying us at the organ, it's just so exciting. It's great.
And think about the cathedrals for which Vaughan Williams was composing music, all those great English cathedrals.
Exactly. English great composers, even connected to our other two composers who are from England, Thomas Tallis and William Byrd. So we're talking about the Chapel Royale. We're talking about the Lincoln Cathedral. So these grand spaces that these works were performed in. And so the third piece that I want to share with you is the Laudate Dominum. This is our final piece by Marcel Dupré, and a wonderful work. Again, it's based on a psalm text. But what's nice about this piece is it actually calls for a petit organ as well as a grand organ. So we have Sukasa playing on our petite electric organ that we have. And Sukasa is our collaborative accompanist, I should say. Wonderful pianist, great, great musician, wonderful artistry. She supports the chorale so much. She is my second ear, as I say, in the ensemble. And I'm grateful to have her as a colleague. And then with Christopher Johnson on the organ. So it's sort of two organs at once. And big piece. We end the program with this work. And it's contemporary. Marcel Dupré is a contemporary composer. And lots of dissonance, lots of joy, lots of reaching sort of thresholds and expanding on that as the chorale sings through the work. So a wonderful piece. And so to have those benchmarks of pieces that I stated, that was really, those pieces were my focal point. And then I wanted to build around that. One must remember that in, you know, singing in cathedrals is not just about singing with an organ, but there's a large canon of repertoire for a cappella music. And so you will see that and hear that on our program through the scope of the composers that I mentioned from Germany, Italy, and so forth.
And languages, certainly Latin, but you already gave us some German with Brahms.
Exactly.
And Laudate, already Latin. How about other languages?
Yeah, so we're also singing in French. So the piece we're doing by female composer Lily Boulanger, and it's Psalm 24. This is a piece that is accompanied by piano. And so that's our French piece. So we're doing French, German, and Latin.
What are the spaces you'll be performing in?
So our performance on Saturday evening is at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Wilkes-Barre. That performance is at 7:30 p.m. And then we actually are going to travel a little outside of Scranton and go to Clark Summit. And we will be at First Presbyterian Church in Clark Summit on Sunday afternoon. And we're a part of their arts series that they have there. I definitely want to lift that up. It was nice to be invited by them and for them to welcome us and find a spot for us. And it suits us well with our fall program.
You mentioned already that the Dupré would be perhaps dissonant and then having that power. Give us an example of another piece that has power but is not through the dissonance of
Sure.
the 20th century.
So we have to remember, as I think, as choral directors, choral singers, and audience members, that power is not just created by, I'll say, loud sounds, just to be generic. But power can be created by generating smaller sounds with very much intent that creates beauty in sound. And if we have beauty in sound, that to me is very powerful. And in some ways, more, because I think it's more intimate versus something that's, I'll say, loud and bombastic, where it's more joyful. And that's a more of a, I'll say, a physical response to it. Versus more something quiet and a more intimate response. An example of that, there's many on the program, but one example that I think is quite special is one of the motets we're doing by Maurice Durufle. He has a set of four motets, and we're doing the first one, Ubi Caritas. This is another, I'll say, staple in the choral repertoire. And actually, this is also another piece I wanted to be an anchor in the program. And this piece is for six voices. It's all based on Gregorian chant. Now, Maurice Durufle, I can't say all his music, but the music that I know of Maurice Durufle is all based on Gregorian chant, including his Requiem. This piece, as I mentioned, is called Ubi Caritas. And its English translation for the title is Where Charity and Love Are Present, God is There. One could say that's a very powerful statement there. But this piece is intimate, it's quiet, chant-like, and free-flowing. You gotta have that ease into the piece. It is metered because we have to learn to sing it, but the meter is flexible. And it moves. And so it allows me to be expressive with the chorale. And that's what we hope to communicate to our audiences.
Thank you.
What about the chorales performing with a full organ? Because you don't generally do that.
Correct. I can't recall in my tenure if we've done organ work with the chorale. Christopher Johnson and I had a fun conversation prior to the rehearsal last evening, and he was concerned a little bit about balance. And that's what we're talking about. How can a chamber choir like Arcadia sing over, if you would, a grand instrument like an organ? I will say that they have no problem because Arcadia singers are very talented. And one of the things that I work with them to be able to do is to be flexible vocally. So we could do a Renaissance motet. We could do Ubi Caritas, which is like a motet, small, quiet, powerful. But then I allow them to open their voices. I use that term often with them, that it's time to open up and they could give more sound. One may think that is connected more to bel canto singing when we could do more contemporary music. And the answer is yes. I mean, with the Brahms, you know, they're singing full, I'll say full on as Italian singer, but it's obviously finessed. And I think it's very important to understand for choral singing, one should not have one sound. One should have multiple sounds, because that's the only way we could communicate or we would be bored. And so by understanding what the composer wants, understanding what the director wants, and then being able to interpret it vocally, then it allows singers to have color. And color is a spectrum of light. And so we should have a spectrum of sound. And I'm really proud of the Arcadia Chorale. They do that, and they do that extremely well. So it's very exciting. We're having a good time.
You have wonderful answers when I ask you, yes, we're in 2025. Times are always stressful for humans. When we attend a concert like this, what kinds of experiences? Uplifting? What are the words that you would use?
Well, I hope that when audience comes to hear us, that first off, they're going to hear excellence in choral singing. Bottom line. So they're going to hear an excellent program. Secondly, I hope that they're moved by the program, and they're moved again with a range of emotions, because I've programmed a range of music that allows the singers to express a wide range of emotions. And so there's going to be moments of quiet, moments of asking people to turn inward, to look at themselves and to experience that. And then, as you know, something is very joyful and loud. But I think what's important when our audience members come to our concerts is they're going to hear an excellent program, and they're going to be able to sit and in some ways be still and be fed artistically. And I hope that we do that for folks. The chorale does it for me, and I think we do it for each other. But our main goal is to be able to communicate that to others. And I want our audience to feel that communication between the artistry of the chorale and where our audience may be emotionally, psychologically, but we are able to support them in that space and to hear a beautiful concert of good choral music.
We need beauty in our lives always, don't we?
We need so much beauty in our lives, and sometimes we forget that. And I think with music, we forget about the beauty of sound, but the beauty of the silence of sound. And that happens when we sing in spaces that allows us to do that, like St. Stephen's. And it also happens when you have ensembles like the Arcadia Chorale, where it takes that moment at an end of the piece or in the middle of the piece, where the piece may end and it was quiet and reverent, and we become still. And that moment of stillness is beauty, as you mentioned earlier. And I wish we had more moments like that, because it allows us to be quiet, reflective, and rest. You know, we need a little rest as well with this beauty that we hear and see.
Thank you.
music of Maurice Durruff, Lae Ubi Caritas, one of the pieces on the program that will be offered twice this weekend. Matthew Rupsich, music director and conductor of the Arcadia Chorale, was with us today on Art Scene, and he spoke about the program titled Echoes from the Cathedrals, Sacred Sounds of Western Europe, that will be presented Saturday, October 11th at 7:30 p.m. at St. Stephen's Episcopal Pro-Cathedral, 35 South Franklin Street in Wilkes-Barre, and again Sunday, October 12th at 4 in the afternoon at the First Presbyterian Church, 300 School Street in Clark Summit. It's part of the Arcadia Chorale's Season 46. It's the opening concert, Echoes from the Cathedrals, Sacred Sounds of Western Europe. And they will be joined by the esteemed organist Christopher Johnson, who is director of music at Covenant Presbyterian Church. And for more information, on the web, arcadiachorale.org, arcadiachorale.org. That's this Saturday, October 11th at 7:30 p.m. at St. Stephen's Episcopal Pro-Cathedral, 35 South Franklin Street in Wilkes-Barre, and Sunday, October 12th at 4 in the afternoon at the First Presbyterian Church, 300 School Street in Clark Summit, the Arcadia Chorale under the direction of Matthew Rupsich, opening its 46th season, joined by the esteemed organist Christopher Johnson. For more information, arcadiachorale.org.